Expressing your love can look many different ways, and with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Born Offside. I'm wearing Offside on my crotch today for those that are watching the show. Shout out to my boy Offside FC.
They're nice shorts.
They sent us these shorts. You're not wearing yours.
Have you worn yours? No, I got the Argentina ones. I'll wear them next week. Let's, you know, we'll share the love a little bit.
Yeah, I'm always worried.
I think we'd be Offside in the same shorts on the same day.
Yeah.
A bit strange.
Well, different pairs of shorts.
Yeah,
not the same. That'd be strange. I'm always hesitant to wear shorts on the show.
Yeah, because you sit like that.
Well, because the couch is quite low.
Yeah, but Claude, if you didn't sit spread eagle, you wouldn't be so worried.
Spread eagle.
I don't think there's any. Yeah.
You don't think there's any issue with the spread eagle?
Yeah, I was just like, I don't know if there's any other way to sit when you're in the middle.
When you're in the middle, it's hard, right? I got to like spread out.
It's so true, because when I've sat in your place,
what do you do?
My legs are so short that I'm.
Oh, you don't even. You don't.
My
even
legs are up like this.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah, they're just
like
hanging
Elmo,
off the
Elmo
off
on the toilet.
Couch.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't even hit the bottom of the couch.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
We've got plenty to get through today. It's an international break, and we're going to get to that in a second.
Much happened.
Too many international breaks. Yeah. I like international football.
But a lot of internationals.
But there's too many.
Yeah.
There's too many of them. But there is some local news that came out just today, actually.
Oh.
The National Second Division.
Yes, I saw this.
Official. We have officially.
Like officially. Not like.
Official.
Not like, oh, next year.
Nah.
Like, this is the lineup.
Official 8 teams. And then there's more to come, apparently.
Yeah.
Mm. But the 8 teams, tell me what you notice here, guys. Apia, Sydney Olympic, Marconi.
Love them.
Sydney United.
Love them.
Wollongong Wolves.
Yeah.
Avondale.
I go every week.
South Melbourne and Preston.
I love that it's a national second division and it's New South Wales and Victoria.
I mean, exactly. I can watch them all within a 10-minute, you know, wind span, which is perfect for us New South Wales people.
The thing is, if you're from Sydney or Melbourne, chances are you'll always have a game in your city.
Yeah.
Nah, look, it's shit. There must be a reason for it. They've said that these are the teams which passed all the tests that they did, whatever. They want to add 2 to 4 more in the next year.
Okay.
So when they kick off in 25, they want minimum 10.
Okay.
Minimum. Best case 12, but minimum 10.
Okay.
So that could be. You know, we heard Hobart was getting tossed around. Sunshine Coast was getting tossed around.
Did someone DM'd us about Queensland?
Yeah, we spoke about it last week.
Was that last week?
Yeah. We got another message.
Did we got another one,
did we?
I swear.
Yeah, we did.
Shabs, did you pick that up?
Producer Shabs should be on this. He's got one job.
So he wants to come on the show. I think the point is we might have someone on the show.
The anonymous person from last week.
No, they're not. They are anonymous.
But they're like a pretty big deal in Football Queensland, aren't they?
Yeah.
Ooh, but they want to remain anonymous.
Tell me they're going to like Kanye West this thing and like have a zipped up.
Yeah.
They're not going to show their identity.
They want to remain anonymous.
It will change
anonymous.
Their voice and they'll just be a silhouette.
Wow.
But
somebody has offered to come on and kind of explain the Queensland situation from that perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. I love my drama.
Yeah, send us voice notes, man. We want to hear it all.
Actually, that's a great point too. If you've ever... I mean, we used to have a few back in the day, but if you ever want to give us your opinion, send us a voice note.
We used to get voice notes.
Yeah, because we can react to those.
And we can play them here on the pod.
Yeah, we can.
Play them out loud.
Send them in.
Yeah. But look, it's historic clubs. I think everyone's happy for Wollongong Wolves. A few people making noise about Sydney United after the crowd trouble and stuff. But
yeah, but they also made an Australia Cup final. Like, what are we trying to do here?
Mm.
Their fans will be loving that.
And a couple, I mean, Preston have really shot up after, I don't know if they're, I'm showing my lack of NPL Victorian knowledge here, whether they're in the NPL yet or they're still in the second division.
Preston Lions, they're up in the NPL. NPL 2 or 3.
2, yeah.
NPL so they're
two
not actually they're
not in
one.
The top tier.
They're not in the top tier, but they're, I mean, their fan base and their setup is amazing.
Yeah, their setup's incredible. So I believe their marketing director was in touch with a few of us and was telling us about their plans. And they've hired this whole new team. They have this amazing strategy to just
lift
the club.
Yeah, they must.
They've come out, come out of nowhere, but they've done a great job.
Avondale got cash as well, and they're a pretty new club as well. So apparently a lot of teams in the NPL don't like them. I remember that one of their guys was telling me that because they're new guys on the block.
No one likes new money, do they?
New money, nah. But I'm here for it.
They like old money.
They like all money, exactly. But plenty of clubs and, you know, of course, Italian heritage, Greek heritage, Croatian heritage in Sydney. Mm. And then the Wolves as well, which is a throwback to the old NSL. Look, it's good. It's a step forward anyway, and but still a long way to go until we actually get there. Oscar Ling, what do you see A-League pro-rel system, promotion relegation, in 5 years?
Oh, do we like? Do we see it?
I don't see it.
You don't think it's ever going to happen?
Not in 5 years, no.
No.
No way.
5 years is a long time.
No. In 5 years, I see a good national second division.
5 years, you've just gotten into a rhythm with the second, like the national second division.
Yeah.
The first season's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of learnings. I reckon it'll take a while.
I reckon the second division will pass the A-League for number of teams. Like, I reckon they'll keep adding to the second division.
Okay, yeah.
So it's going to be like championship.
Yeah, I reckon they'll do that. Like, they'll start with maybe 10. But I reckon they'll get to like 18, they'll just keep bolstering it until it's ready for promotion relegation. I can just see new teams coming in there.
That makes more sense.
I think what makes that so difficult is the way that the A-League is run, you know, because it is
a separate entity.
It's a separate entity.
It's not in no way connected to anything
else. And financially
speaking,
you're working with two different entities or multiple entities if you bring in the National Second Division. I think, in theory, everyone likes it, but it's way more complicated.
I think it works in the UK though.
It doesn't.
Because the Premier League is separate from the FA, but you still promote through the football pyramid up to the Premier League.
Yeah.
So there has to be an agreement done, but it can work. Yeah. It definitely can work. Also, the FA still own 20% of the A-League, so they do have some invested interest. It can work, but I just don't think it's more the A-League owners. I don't see them being on side to it.
There has to be benefit.
Second division.
We know like in business, both parties have to be benefiting. So. Yeah. If the best teams are being promoted, what does
also,
that mean?
Also, how do you think it's going to affect the supportership for A-League?
It depends what time of year they play. That's the big one. If they keep playing in the winter, like the NPL, it shouldn't affect it. If they play at the same time as the A-League, look, it might a little bit. But I don't know. I think it's a whole different fan.
It is a whole different fan.
You know, I think it's a different fan that's crying out.
But that's what I'm saying. Because those fans are a bit more... They might have casually gone to watch, you know, maybe a Sydney... A Wanderers against Sydney FC, but now they would rather go and watch
United
Olympic. You know what I mean? So it could affect it in certain
It could affect it. Look, I think more football's always the answer because also for players, it's going to give players more of a platform to go into be pro.
It's a lot more opportunity.
Yeah, it's a lot more, but I don't know. There'll be a lot of headaches. There'll be a lot of headaches going on nonetheless. I'm excited for it.
Yes,
sir. I'm excited for it. Let's get it popping.
Yeah.
I'd
like to see a little bit more representation of other parts of Australia, definitely. Mm. Then it will actually feel like a national second division.
Agreed.
Rather than a second division.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just an East Coast second division.
Just an East Coast second division. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. But watch this space. Let's see what happens. I think there'll be a lot of developments. My biggest thing working in football media, I'm super keen to see who buys the rights to it. That's my thing. Like, I want to see is it going to partner? Is it going to be on Paramount as well?
Yeah.
Or will is this a paywall thing or a free to air?
Yeah. Will someone just go, fuck it, I don't have the A-League, but I'll just buy this instead? Like, I'd love, because I'm obviously at Optus, I'd love Optus Sport to pick it up.
That'd be amazing.
It'd be sick, you know, and because the coverage they give it.
You often see on Optus Sport stuff, because obviously I work there too, and I get messages all the time, like, what about the A-Leagues? Like, why haven't you spoken about the A-Leagues? And it's like, well,
We don't have
the A-League. It's not that easy. Yeah. It would be amazing if there was local football to talk about.
Exactly. A quick one. I think this is for you, Kat, from 15JRod08. Are international breaks haram?
I think...
Too many are haram?
I mean, that's basically what you were alluding to. You know how I feel about international breaks.
Yeah.
I've warmed up to those. Mm. I love international football. In holistically,
at World Cups,
yeah, like it does kind of like shape up the season a little bit, and I don't know if I rate having them so often.
Well, soon I'm going to tell you all the reasons why international breaks are great and also bad at the same time.
Also.
Yeah, so we're going to get there in a second. But for now,
I think he's Arab. This guy.
Well, I think I mean, something gave it away. Crispy 04. How good was that Melbourne City women's comeback? So the women's game kept playing over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They were losing 2-1. Van Egmond's back for Jets.
She is back, and she scored. Played very well.
Yeah, playing for her dad's team.
Her dad's team.
He's a coach.
He's
a coach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Playing underneath your dad at a high level.
How do you onside or offside? I mean, playing rugby league with the Clearys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, with the Clearys. Still with the Clearys.
Yeah, but then Nathan, you know, he does so well. That's what I'm saying.
You're either one or the other. Like, if you're an average player playing underneath your dad, you just got in there because your dad. But if you're a standout,
Yeah,
they're usually
like,
good.
Then it's like, nah, you would. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You're like, clearly, it's like, all right, he would have been there regardless.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? But I feel like if you're an average, like there's a guy called Michael Bradley. I think he plays for US. He's decent.
Yeah. Bradley was his old man.
Yeah, but his old man. So everyone was like, come on, bro, you got. He was good, but he wasn't at the level to where you go. You should be starting for the national team every single day. But he was good.
Yeah.
So it's like that. It's that kind of vibe. But you know, it is what it is. Use your connections, man.
Yeah, it was like Graham Arnold with his son-in-law was Trent Sainsbury and still dropped him.
Yeah, didn't mean he made a call up to the World Cup.
Ain't no favours. Yeah. Let's talk a bit about the Socceroos. 7-0 win. Yeah. You expected that against Bangladesh. With all due respect to Bangladesh.
Yeah. What was it, a goal in the first 2 minutes?
Well, you knew.
Juki got one.
Well, you knew with Harry Suter.
Yeah.
The Bangladeshi coach before the game said Socceroos are top 5 in the world for set pieces.
Really, because of Suter?
But we're just big. Yeah. Generally, tall. Even our smallish players, like Jackson Irvine, he doesn't look big, but he's tall compared to the Bangladeshi players, you know. So, yeah, it was just like it was boys to men. Great band. it was boys against men.
Saw them play actually.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Singing my heart out.
saw you with Kelly Clarkson. Oh, Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Rowland.
Kelly Rowland. Oh my gosh, Freudian slip there.
Yeah,
I don't know why I'm thinking about Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah,
she had one song, didn't
she? Did she win American Idol?
Yeah.
You know why she's on my mind?
Why?
Because guys, it's 20 years or something since Guy Sebastian won Australian Idol yesterday.
Shannon Noel Robb.
And I saw some tribute thing all about when Idol was the biggest thing.
Yeah, Idol was big. Yeah.
Like the whole family was watching.
It wasn't bigger than X Factor though, was it?
Here it was big.
It was massive. Oh, really? Like the first season was so big here, and Kelly won the American one. Anyway. Mm.
Anyway, Socceroos won 7-0 and they're playing Palestine this week.
Yeah.
And they're donating as well. They're donating half their match payments to the Palestinian people, which is amazing. Great to see. Yeah. I can't believe Palestine are fielding a team in this moment. That's crazy. But I guess it's a symbol of hope. I think that's why they want to do it. They want
to
keep playing.
I think it goes back to that sense of identity as a country, right? Yeah. And if you're given a platform to play as a country, to represent a country, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Because
it's
one of those things where their land might be in contention, but as a people, they very much feel
More together than ever.
Football
can be powerful in times like
can
that.
Be very
you know what? Do yourself a favor, actually. Google the history of Palestinian football and how it relates to this conflict. It's quite interesting. I mean, football in the grand scheme of things doesn't mean anything when you're talking people's lives. But the way that this whole thing has impacted Palestinian football is really interesting. From the West Bank too, because Palestine's split.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Players that have been on one side haven't been able to meet up with the team for many years, and they've lost some crucial qualifiers because their team couldn't link up because the checkpoints. So then they've had to forfeit certain crucial World Cup qualifiers in the past. It's a really interesting story.
Wild.
I was going to do a piece on it, but I haven't got around to it yet. But you need all the facts doing something
No, you definitely
But it's really interesting. We're playing them. It's a, look, good start to qualification, but it's a long road to the World Cup through Asia. Couple young players, though. I mean, the Socceroos are looking good, but there's a couple young players that seem like they may not want to play for Australia. There's a couple stories. Now, the first one we all know about.
Okay, yeah, we know where you're going with
this. The first one's Christian Volpato.
Right. But question.
Okay.
Is he the one that doesn't want to play?
Well, this is what's come out. So
he wants to play for Australia.
Him and Arnie have spoken.
Danny as Arnie?
Arnie.
Oh, if we said as Arnie. I was like, as Arnie.
Not as Arnie.
Because I heard through the grapevine that before the World Cup, Arnie was on the phone to Volpato being like,
He was.
You need to come.
He really wanted him, right?
Yeah.
Now, apparently he spoke to him again here. Now, this is what's come out now. Volpato since has made a move from Roma to Sassuolo.
Yep.
His agent's Francesco Totti.
Mm.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad.
Not a well-known name.
The man who scored against Australia and sucked his thumb saying, off you go back home.
Yeah.
Now, apparently it's Totti and Sassuolo that have convinced him to not go to play for Australia during these camps now. Because it would be bad for his brand and his image.
Oh, yeah. Terrible. So terrible to play for your country.
Because
what the fuck?
They reckon his market value in Italy will stay higher if he's playing for Italy under 21s than if he went to play for Australia.
Oh, that's a techie one.
So he went and played for Italy under 21s over the weekend and scored, albeit against San Marino, but he scored again for Italy under 21s.
I do understand it though.
It'd be like if you're English, right? Mm. Would you rather play for England under 21s or Australia?
Yeah.
What helps you with the Premier League clubs?
Yeah.
Probably England 21s, right?
Probably England, because then they see you're already in the system and then there's a higher possibility of you getting a cap for England. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I get it.
Mm.
I do see the path, but it's just a bit shit because we obviously want to see him playing for Australia.
We want all
he's
all,
an Aussie boy, really an Aussie boy. But I also, I completely understand what he's doing.
Exactly. And I think when you hear this, it's like, okay, there's a lot of variables involved. And if you're this lad and you got someone like Totti telling you this,
come on. It's Totti, It's Totti. Like,
you got Arnie on one phone, you got Francesco Totti on the other phone. Yeah, with all due respect.
Yeah, who are you listening to?
You're listening to Totti, right?
Yeah, true. I hear it.
So I kind of feel for him in this situation. I think he's just, he's buying time, but I get it.
Because you're Italian-Australian.
Yeah.
You know, that could be you. What would you do?
What could have been?
It could have been without the knee injury.
I wouldn't know.
What would you do?
In another fighting for my fucking signature.
In another world.
Yes.
Where Claude's, you weren't on the couch. You're actually, you know, playing for said teams. Yeah. What decision would you make?
Like when you're young and you're playing, everyone always asks you that. Because I obviously had the dual passports. People would always ask, oh, if you know, one day things go well and you were, which one would you play? I always said Australia. Me personally, but I'm not in that situation. If you're playing in Italy, I completely understand him. He'd be thinking about his club career.
Does he feel more Italian?
It's not only that. It's just like, you know, he wasn't good enough for Roma, so he's gone to Sassuolo. He's struggling for game time. Someone tells you like your image will look better playing for Italy. They don't give a shit if you play for Australia, but you're playing for Italy. You're more likely to start for your club, to get a move, to get a transfer.
So if you're even banging goals in the under 21s, it looks better.
Yeah. You know, so. So I get that. Anyway, we'll watch this space. I think, look, it's probably the best time ever to try and make the Italian squad because they're fucking struggling.
Yeah, right? That's especially true. They're in a rebuild.
For attacking midfielders, you have a couple, you know, you have half a good season. This kid could be playing for Italy, which that's is crazy. True. But look, obviously you'd think the Italian team would be harder to make. I could see this dragging on another couple years and then ahead of the 26 World Cup, he commits to Australia. Ooh. I could see that happening if he keeps playing.
Clip it.
Yeah, I could see it. He's got to start playing for Sassuolo though.
Clip it. We'll run it back.
There's another one.
Okay, here's the other one. It was interesting to know.
And this one has just popped up last day or two and would be heartbreaking to say the least. I don't think it's going to happen, but would be heartbreaking. Nestor Iran Kunda.
My chest.
My notes too.
My chest. Wait. Who's he going to play for instead?
So, Nestor Iran Kunda, you read into it. Read into it as you will. He put up two Instagram stories yesterday, okay? And people on Twitter have grabbed it, they've screenshot it, they've started talking about it.
Soccer Twitter's going off.
Do you know what I mean? The first story was him dribbling through some cones, training for Adelaide. Of course, he was left out of the Australian squads, both the Olyroos and the Socceroos' most recent squad. A lot of people said it could have been because of his red card, could have been because of his transfer to Bayern. There's a lot of reasons. He's obviously busy right now. But either way, he wasn't in the squad.
Right.
He's dribbling through some cones. He put up a little heart emoji, a little heart, as in like an actual human heart. You know that emoji has the actual organ? Heart. The heart, right?
The organ.
He had a heart and a timer next to it.
Yes.
Then on the next slide, it was also him training and he had see you soon.
Yeah.
I think he had, or soon, and he had the Burundi national flag.
Yeah. So you think he's going to go play for... But they're doing World Cup qualifiers now.
They're doing World Cup qualifiers.
They are, because my boy just scored in Charles.
Right.
Just scored.
So they just lost to Gabon, Aubameyang's team, 2-1 in the qualification. But there's a long way to go. They sent officials to meet Nestor Iran Kunda years ago when he was in Adelaide Youth.
Jeez. They've been scouting him for a minute.
And they came out and responded on this. And BBC wrote an article about it yesterday saying that they have said they're going to try everything to get him because... In Australia, he'll be great. He'll be another player. But there, he'll be a national hero, an icon, and basically an image of hope to all the youth of that country, saying that, especially now since he's moved to Bayern Munich.
Jeez.
Do you think he'd consider this?
Fuck, he probably would, bro. Like, he 100% would, because he's got, obviously, where he's from, his parents, his heritage, and in African culture, that's huge. Like, if you can do something that's going to impact the whole nation.
Like, he'll be a hero, right? In Australia, everyone loves him
He'll still be good.
You still always have things to prove. Like, I think in Australia...
It's all poppy syndrome as well. People like, you're never going to get hero status.
Australians are a bit weird like that, right? Like, they always want you to prove something and you've seen players rise and fall.
Yeah, even like his move to Bayern, I'm still seeing comments like, oh, I hope this doesn't ruin his career. And I'm just like, why is that the first thing that comes to your mind?
Yeah.
Like, he's just got a move to Bayern. This is great for... Everyone, him, the league, everyone. Why is the first thing that comes to your mind is like, oh, I hope this doesn't fuck up his career. You know what I mean?
Like, it's interesting.
Straight away, you're thinking of the negative shit.
There's a couple of players that ended up playing. Like, I know a fair few put their allegiance to Ghana recently, and they were English. They could have played for England. Now, whether they weren't good enough to make the squad, but Wilfred Zaha said the same thing as well, because Zaha was originally going to play for England, ended up playing for Ivory Coast.
Yeah, Ivory Coast.
And he said it feels so much more special to him, even though he grew up in England. this is like his family and his family's families and the way they look up to him there. Yeah. Even just the fact that he's in the Prem is big for them.
Yeah.
Whereas it's really massive.
Playing for England's like, oh, you play for fucking Palace. Like, when are you going to actually prove something in an England shirt? Yeah. Constantly, you're criticised.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas
yeah,
there, you're celebrated. You know, Drogba stopped a civil war, for God's sake.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Do you know what I mean? The mm-hmm. power, I think you look like players like Mane and everything and the influence that they have in the countries that they're from and what that money can do.
Yeah.
And I think how impactful football is, because you said it before with Palestine, right? We say it's football at the end of the day. It's not a matter of life and death the way that other things are.
Yeah.
But the impact you can have as a footballer in those communities is insane. You can change lives.
100%. Yeah.
You can't really necessarily do the same thing in England.
Yeah. Now you're saying that, it honestly wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, it would be a huge loss.
It actually wouldn't. It probably depends how close he is with his family and brothers and like all
these. Also how in touch he is with his culture.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing. You know what I mean? Because my parents definitely would be saying like,
play for Nigeria.
Play for Nigeria,
100%. Well, what would you do?
I would play for Nigeria just to bring them that sort of like
that happiness
feeling.
The happiness.
A lot of people, you play for your family, right?
Yeah, exactly. You play for your family, play you for heritage. Make them proud. So
it's amazing. And I think, look, Volpato, Iran Kunda, I get these young lads.
Yeah.
Because as much as it's like easy to jump to the opportunity, it's a big decision. Football is unlike many other sports where once you play for a nation, you're locked.
Mm.
So it's a big decision. So when you're a really good player and you're signing for Bayern or you're signing for Roma, I get that you might want to take your time and make the right decision.
I agree with that.
Also, in terms of just from a technical standpoint, can he go and play for them and play for Australia like further down the line because of his age?
There's now techie things. I think it's to do with A internationals. If you play...
I think it's... There's just so many...
If he plays a World Cup qualifier, I don't think he can.
Because was it Diego Costa flipped, didn't he?
Yeah. Tim Cahill?
Yeah.
Flipped because they weren't considered A internationals that he played for Samoa. Mm. So it depends on... But I think if you're playing a World Cup qualifier, I think that counts.
I think that's surely got to count.
Yeah. I don't know. But interesting. Anyway, we're used to this. Hey, Azani, same thing in 2018. Iran were really close to getting him and then he ended up committing to Australia. Does he regret that?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, it's the beauty of being a multicultural country and the fact that we look at that Socceroos lineup and most of them, their families come from somewhere else. And that's what's beautiful about
it. That's always going to help our
you're
football.
Always running that risk that they might want to go back to said motherland to represent.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So
anyway. you got to build incentive as well. It's a reason to make Australian football better.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's go to African football.
I thought we were already there.
We are there. What he could look forward to if he does get a play over there is just scenes. You never know what you're going to get.
Oh, yeah. It'll be like a sea of people. Anywhere he goes.
Hamish George wrote in, Mo Salah got attacked by Sierra Leone fans. Security was outrageously slow. So some some context.
What the hell?
Security was from Sierra Leone.
So they were playing in Sierra Leone. Egypt won 2-0. At one point, the crowd rushes the field. First, a Liverpool fan bows down at Mo Salah's feet.
Oh my God.
But then a Man City shirt was worn by another fan who appeared to try to attack Salah.
Oh my God.
Right? And then the Sierra Leone military
had to jump in.
Get him off the field and he looked pretty shaken by it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, he's a footballer, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he's a long way
from Anfield.
Yeah, it's a very long way. He would be laughing. That's fucked. Is he okay?
He's fine. He set up the second goal. They won.
Yeah, we're real passionate in Africa, man.
It's so good, man. Like, it's so hard to play there. The amount of times I've seen, like, star-studded Ivory Coast lose away from home and, like, it looks like a paddock they're playing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I love it. I think it's cool. Proper football.
Anything goes, man.
But they need to... What I love about the African players is they really look forward to going back and play with their country.
Yeah,
they don't get... I don't know. Sometimes I feel like... Players that play in the top levels, maybe for European nations, they get a bit snobby.
They don't want to go back home. And
the
stuff.
Africans always want to go. African Cup of Nations, mid-season, they go. You know, I love it. But it's great. Africa was the biggest winner of the new World Cup format. So they used to get five teams at a World Cup. Now they're going to get 9 automatic plus one.
That's huge.
To a playoff.
Yeah, that's
humongous.
So Egypt, Algeria, Nigeria, they all missed out last time.
Mm.
Hopefully now you get more African teams. There's enough quality.
There's so much quality
to have 9-10 teams
in those teams, man.
So it's very good to see. Let's take another trip. We'll go to South America this time.
Ooh.
South America.
All right, there's a few stories.
Okay.
Coming out of there.
There's a few coming out of there.
I'm ready.
Quality stuff. You ever been to South America?
No.
You're due a trip there, bro.
I am due. Like what? Like Mexico? That South America?
That's Central.
Yeah, America. Close enough. Yeah.
You might want to go a little more south.
Bit more south.
Or like Colombia.
Yeah, we go.
Muy bien, Medellin.
You listened to the Andy Bernal episode, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Medellin.
Good times there.
That's very good.
Barranquilla.
Yeah. Yeah, hola, como está?
Do you know another city in Colombia?
Do you like Latinas?
Of course.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Claro
who
que
doesn't?
Si.
Jesus.
Who doesn't? It's true.
That's why he speaks such good Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah, they shave years of your life, but they're just so much fun. let's go to Argentina, where...
Your dad's born. No, he grew up there.
He grew up there, yeah.
I don't think people know that.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know the RG influence on me, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. My dad left Italy when he was a kid, so he grew up in Argentina. So I grew up with all that, all the music, the language, the food, the... all that stuff, and I've been
your
there.
Dad's accent is like a hybrid between the two.
He sounds
really Spanish. Yeah, like he's got the Spanish accent.
Yeah, it's really cool. And basically, they usually Argentina play at El Monumental, which is the big stadium that River Plate play at. They had to move it because of Taylor Swift.
Ah, yes.
Oh my, what, she's doing a concert?
Swiftie concert. So
the fucking Swifties.
Messi,
man.
presenting the Ballon d'Or to Argentinians had to be moved. For Taylor Swift.
Oh my God.
It shows you the size of this girl.
Yeah, Messi, stay in your lane, basically, she's huge, man.
I despise Taylor Swift, man.
Wow.
Why?
Let's break it down.
Why?
But just like, why is she so big? And who are her fans?
She has a lot of fans.
Because I've never met them, but they're everywhere, apparently. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Are you a Swiftie?
It's almost like they're just bots and people just...
No. In fact, who are her fans? I wrote a comment on one of John Bernard's videos where he did a fake interview with Taylor Swift.
And all the Swifties were there?
And I commented, I hope the Swifties see this. And it's got like 1,500 likes and so many Swifties have replied like, you're not a girl's girl.
See? This is what I'm saying.
And I'm like, hold on. Okay. Just pause for a second.
I could tell you you're not a Swift girl.
I like what
she's much
done.
More of a Cardi B or a fucking Nicki Minaj, you know.
I'd be like, I'm a Rihanna girl every day over Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but even like Swift.
But
it's just like
you can appreciate that she's done really well for herself, and I'm happy for her. But I'm not a huge fan of the
music.
You're
also not a Delta Goodrum person, are you?
Oh God, no.
Yeah, see, I feel like if you're a Swiftie, you're a Delta Goodrum.
There's a time.
You know what I mean? You're more of a Jess Malboy kind of girl.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I see that.
If we're going local, yeah. She lived in my cousin's street.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway.
So they moved Messi because of Taylor Swift.
They moved Messi down to La Bombonera, which is Boca Juniors' home ground. And they lost anyway at home to Uruguay. Actually, in that game, so Uruguay are now coached by Marcelo Bielsa.
Okay. Yep.
Bielsa's got them cooking. Beat Brazil, beat Argentina already.
Oh, wild.
He's a fucking phenomenal coach.
That's so cool.
It's a match made in heaven. He's a great manager. Uruguay ends up just crazy.
Yeah.
They're just mental, right? And they don't give a fuck who they're playing. They're grubs. I kind of like watching Uruguayans play football.
They are grubby, aren't they?
They're disgusting. right? They're disgusting. But
bunch of Ramoses.
I mean, you remember Godin and Jimenez.
Oh, I hope you're... Speaking of Ramos, I hope you're going to bring up.
We'll get there.
Yeah, okay, great.
So anyway, Uruguay, there was a couple of big tackles on Messi. They were just fucking hitting Messi. I didn't give a shit that he was, you know. They hit him. Rodrigo De Paul comes over trying to start a fight. And this young Uruguayan defender looks at him. And quite obviously, the camera got him in Spanish, like clear, going, you all just suck his dick. And he did the gesture as well. Yeah. You guys just suck his dick, everything he does. Right? and they beat him 2-0. And Messi, after the game, said, you know, these young guys have no respect. But I kind of like it.
I kind of like that. I actually like that. You know, it doesn't give a fuck who it is.
They don't give
We're
a fuck.
Going out there 11 men against 11. I don't care if you're... 4 or 5 time Ballon d'Or winner.
Yeah.
You're going to get it as well.
I will humble you.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, fair play to him. So they beat them at La Bombonera. Moving over to Chile.
Have you been to Chile?
I've never been to Chile.
Do you like Chile?
I'd like to go to Chile.
You like Chilean women clothes?
Well, I don't know that many, to be fair.
I know one or two. Do you?
I know a couple, yeah. They're really nice.
They're nice. Nice breed of women.
It's the golden generation. The golden generation.
First time close features. I love it.
The golden generation of Chile.
I'm crying.
No, inside joke, guys. Inside joke.
The golden generation.
He just likes spicy food. It's fine. Moving on.
I do. The golden generation of Chile is truly over.
Okay.
Are you sure?
He's so stuck. He's so thrown off.
Are you sure?
Listen, they drew nil-nil at home.
He's just thrown off completely.
They drew 0-0.
Sorry if you're listening, guys.
They drew 0-0 at home to 10-man Paraguay.
Mm. OK. cat.
Listen, cat.
We'll get her back. We'll get her back important. Eventually. She always does this.
I'm listening.
We'll get
this
her back.
Is important.
Estoy escuchando.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alexis Sanchez was having a shower after the game.
He's still playing.
He's still going. Jeez. They're holding on to this generation that's Jesus done. Christ. They're going to let it go. They're coming eighth, by the way. They're doing pretty shit. They still got to play Brazil and Argentina. They finished 0-0 at home to Paraguay, who had 10 men. In the shower after the game, shit starts coming out of the drains.
Oh, wow. Just took a left turn.
Right?
Yeah.
So the Chileans, bro, they got to fix the fucking piping, bro. I know times are tough in Chile.
What the?
What's going on?
Wait, so as they were showering.
At home, by the way, they're playing a Colo Colo stadium. He's having a shower.
They're Colo Colos.
Straight from their Colo Colo to the fucking drain, bro. The shit started coming out of the drains at their own home stadium.
Oh my God. What's going on in Chile?
I'm so done. Yeah. Did you hear this?
No. Yeah. Cat's done.
I'm crying.
I know.
This happens all the time.
You've heard of golden showers?
Oh God.
This is different.
Don't ever look at me and say that.
This is different.
This is brown showers, bro. Yeah, and he was unhappy with it. He said after the game, he said, you know, we take responsibility for all that, but this isn't good enough. We're at home in the national stadium and there's shit coming out of the showers.
What the hell, man?
Like, how does that even happen?
I'd love to see.
Well, obviously the plumbing.
Yeah, the plumbing.
You know,
doesn't get used often, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I understand if you make it come out of the away team,
but the home.
You want to help your home. Maybe they were so unhappy with the 0-0 draw, the plumber just switched the pipes.
Damn.
Anyway,
that's deep. Anyway,
yeah, on. Shit. You know, it's not what you want in the shower. But anyway,
Shabs is chuckling.
Yeah.
Can we move on?
We're going to stay in South America, though.
Oh, here we are.
We're going to stay there, right? We're going to stay there. We're going to go to a
What's
really
the rush?
Nice, we're
What's
to,
the rush?
Well, exactly. Let's go to a nice story. Luis Diaz.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I love
this.
This
is incredible. His dad's been released from captivity. Mm. Again, South America. His dad got kidnapped, which is terrible, yes. And his mum. Yeah. But, you know, that happens often in South America. If they know your son is playing overseas, has a lot of money, we often hear that their houses get robbed, they get kidnapped. Anyway, his dad just got found and released during the week. Mm. Goes to the Colombia game on the weekend against Brazil to see his son score 2 goals and
That's
beat Brazil.
That's amazing.
Yeah, did you see his reaction?
Did you see, the videos.
The timing couldn't be better on that.
Oh, amazing. That was just, that's my story of the week.
Yeah, I agree. It's
fucking amazing.
It's a really beautiful moment for the family. I think you saw the fans, well, you know, the Colombian community come together for him. Mm. It's good news for everyone.
It's so good, man. It's so good. No. You're right.
Sorry, I was thinking about Twitter and some of the stuff that they were saying on Twitter. And it's too bad.
Was it really saying? Offside?
Well, his reaction.
Was it offside?
There were quote tweeting his reaction with like obviously stuff saying like he realized like his price just doubled or some shit.
Twitter's a bad place, man.
That's not me.
This is
why
Twitter.
It's not Alan's thoughts.
It's not all my thoughts. It's Twitter's thoughts. It's Twitter. You know when you shouldn't. You're laughing at it and you're like, oh, that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
So
that's why I don't have Twitter anymore.
Thought about it.
He's okay now, which is good.
He's okay. He's
surely
good.
Just sell your house insane. In Colombia, move with your son.
Yeah,
England,
no, he's got to leave Colombia, surely.
Just move away.
Go
with
to Liverpool.
Son. Yeah, it's not a whole lot better, but, you know, it's a little bit better.
A little bit.
You know, let's go to Europe now.
Finally.
A couple big results. Finally.
It's a full world. Got a round the world ticket.
I love it. This is international football. Turkey beat Germany. Big. Lots of Turks in Germany as well. Germany, their preparation for the Euros at home is going shit. They
What's going
the
on in Germany?
Not working, bro. They've got Nagelsmann now. They lost 3-2 to Turkey. And yeah, it's not going well. A lot of people are criticizing them. They have to pull it together for this Euros. Mm-hmm. Over in Spain, Gavi comes off with a serious knee injury.
Not good.
Look quite serious. So serious that Ferran Torres scores in the second half and holds up a Gavi jersey. Oh, he just came off the field.
Wow.
That was a bit much.
That's a bit much.
It's a bit much.
Yeah,
eh?
It's a bit too far.
It's a bit lovely.
They're dramatic.
He's not dead.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's way too far. Personally.
They're dramatic, the Spanish. But yeah. Just a little anyway.
Very dramatic.
You know a thing or two.
We love them.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, you lived there.
I did.
Yeah. But let's hope Gavi's all good. He's one of the golden boys. This is what I want to talk to you about. I know you love this man.
Who?
Romelu Lukaku.
Oh, that's my guy. I will always stick by him.
So Belgium beat Azerbaijan. Mm-hmm. He scores 4 goals.
Yeah.
What was
the total score?
That's a good question. What was the
final
score?
Did he score all the goals?
No, he didn't score all of them. They beat them 5-0. So he scored 4 out of 5.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but they were all early. I think he had 4 by 37 minutes. Something like that, right? Anyway.
Damn.
He scores the 4th goal. Yeah. He runs over to the camera in the
Do
corner.
You remember, sorry okay. to interrupt. No, remember fine. We talked about hat-tricks in the Bundesliga?
Yeah.
And they all have to be in the same half?
Yeah.
that actually, he actually would have, like, you rarely hear about scoring that many goals in one half. It just made me think of that.
Yeah. That would have been a Bundes.
Like, that's how rare it is. Like, you never hear about that happening.
No, exactly.
In the same half, it's crazy.
But it happens. Yeah. You're a qualifier, you get some crazy scores. Yeah. Azerbaijan, they're improving, but they're, you know, it's fucking Azerbaijan, right? Yeah. Anyway, scores the fourth goal, runs to the corner, grabs the camera and says, I'm him.
Lukaku said this.
Yeah. Now
that's so fucked. That's like bagging a seven and going, yo, I'm that guy now. Like, nah, it's not the same. Less than a seven,
couple
a six.
Things I want to talk about. One, can you ever claim you're him? Isn't that something someone else
you
has
have to be told?
Someone has to say that about
that's
you.
That's true. You don't say I'm him. You don't say, I'm they him. Say
he's that guy.
He's like, him.
Yeah.
Not I'm him.
Yeah, no. Nah.
I'm him.
It just comes across a bit icky, yeah?
Oh, it's icky, yeah.
Yeah. So that's one.
Other people have to claim
he lost
that guy.
Like
it's true. It's true.
A lot of points for that.
That's so true. Yeah, you don't say I'm him. That's I didn't think about that.
He also then was subbed off in the second half. Mm. Job well done. He was on his phone on the bench during the game.
Damn, that's offside. That's offside.
He was on his phone.
He was on his phone on the bench.
Checking if
the camera cut to him, and he was just.
He was checking if he was trending on Twitter.
He was probably checking if he was trending. If anyone was calling him, him.
Yeah.
him.
You know.
Yeah, no, you don't say. You don't say.
I mean, I like Romelu, but he doesn't do himself any favors.
Look,
he has a big ego.
Yeah, but look, you can't. I genuinely believe the best footballers all have an ego. Like, you need an ego to get to that point.
Yeah.
And sometimes it comes out in those moments and you're like,
I'm him though against Azerbaijan.
Pull it back.
You need a hat-trick against England or something?
Sure, you can be him.
Hat-trick against Azerbaijan?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
He needed that for his confidence probably.
You know?
But in saying that, let's not, you know, discredit the Azerbaijanis.
Oh, name me one player.
Nenstrom.
Yeah, exactly. You can't name me one player from Azerbaijan. Don't give me that shit. But look, he's seventh in the all-time international goal scorers.
For Belgium, yep.
No, he's all-time.
Oh, what?
Yeah, he's top of Belgium.
Oh, wow.
He bags goals, bro, and he's still young. And looking at that list, realistically, he'll probably finish fourth when he retires. Mm. So he'll be behind Ali Day of Iran, Messi and Ronaldo.
Wow.
So like...
Well, he just doesn't get enough respect.
He doesn't get the respect. He'll be above Kane, Lewandowski, all these like big number nine Suarez.
Because we forget he was like on the scene as like, he was like, when he was playing for West Brom, what was he, 19?
When he got loaned out there.
20, when he was like scored 20 goals for West Brom.
Yeah, scored a hat-trick against United. Yeah, yeah.
So he's been in the game for so long, we almost just like disregard him.
Yeah. I mean, his record with Belgium is very impressive. But in big moments, like at the World Cup last year, he just didn't quite step up. Looking at that list, though, Messi has 106 goals. Ronaldo's got 128 and still going.
Mm.
But are we starting to discredit European teams? Look at this. France broke a record on the weekend. 14-0. They beat Gibraltar.
14-0.
14-0.
That's so cute. Sorry.
Sorry, my dog's just on
set. We have a dog.
My dog's on
the couch.
She's running amok. 14-0 France beat Gibraltar. Like, does this just like... make European qualification become a bit of a joke?
Yeah, I think it does.
Because in South America, you don't get games like that.
No.
And this is where people, you know, bring up the conversation. Messi, the easiest team he plays is Bolivia at fucking altitude.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in Europe, you're playing your Luxembourgs, your Liechtensteins, your Gibraltar, San Marino.
Who, like, only exist as countries because of politics and stuff.
Exactly.
Like, geographically questionable. Mm. Not trying to discredit the existence of them as countries, but you look at Gibraltar and it's like, how many... players you have to choose.
They all
from.
Have part-time jobs. Messi's 106 goals for Argentina.
Yeah.
Or Ronaldo's 128 goals for Portugal. What's more impressive? There's 22 more goals there for Ronaldo.
Yeah. But they're both impressive in there. It's too hard to pick.
You can't, okay.
I think it's too hard to pick. Because
give
you
them
look
both
at
credit.
Yeah, you give them both credit.
Ronaldo is the top scorer for men's football. I'll say that before the women come after me. Christine Sinclair has about 1,000 goals.
Yeah. But I think it's too hard to... I think they both respectively have done what they need to do for their countries. Like Ronaldo won his country.
Euros,
you know.
Messi won
a World Cup. Both know they've always been top of the game for their countries as well. So I think it's too hard to choose between them both. Everyone's always going to put probably Ronaldo in front because... No, not Ronaldo. Messi in front because of the World Cup.
Yeah.
And that's recency bias.
But at least Ronaldo, I think, you know, it's fair to say he's the greatest goal scorer of all time. Because if he scored 128 goals for Portugal, he's the greatest goal scorer. Men.
Of all time?
Men.
So you're saying he's a better goal scorer than Messi?
Goal scorer? Probably. I think it's just simply goal scorer.
Simply
goals. I think Ronaldo's the best we've ever seen. Messi, for me, is the best player. But goal
scorer? Technically speaking, Messi does things that the...
I hear what you're saying. Ronaldo's like, just the bagsman of all time.
Ronaldo's aspirational. You look at what he does as a player and you want to play like that. Messi, you look at him and you're like, how the hell did he do that?
Yeah.
Like it's
but Messi's different. Messi's got more elements, you know. If you take assisting, you take dribble, you take, but I'm just talking just purely in the box goals. Like what now Haaland is becoming.
I think Ronaldo is the king of that.
Ronaldo is the king of scoring goals.
I agree with that. He's showing it still now.
That's true. And that's what he's there for.
But the French, they're arrogant as fuck, right? We know that. Mm-hmm. French are arrogant. A couple things happen. One, Mbappe, after the game, laughed about how many goal scorers they had. They had 9 different goal scorers. He said, we actually had 10 because the Gibraltar player scored 1 for us.
They've got to bring the mercy rule back for some of these games.
Well, this aesthetic football asked us, should a team keep celebrating at 14-0 or do you show mercy to the inferior side?
Yes, you do.
You shouldn't celebrate after what?
Oh, is it even fun anymore at that point?
Well, when should you stop celebrating in a game of football?
Well, personally, it's never happened to me before.
When you got done by Fiorentina.
When you guys conceded.
Probably after like 5 or 6. I reckon. But as in a preseason friendly.
Yeah.
Against a World Cup qualifier, I reckon after like 5, everyone just doesn't.
Just high five and get back.
Everyone just doesn't really give a fuck.
Yeah. Well.
But the thing is, the reason why it's worse is because everyone realizes, oh, we can get in here. Yeah. Anyone that hasn't scored before is going to try and bag a goal.
Try score.
So it gets worse.
Well, so what happened was Olivier Giroud scored a bicycle kick to make it 14-0 and he ran off to the corner and did all these different, he did like 3 different celebrations.
Oh.
And he just made a 14-0 against a bunch of plumbers.
That's horrible.
Come on, bro. I love Giroud.
These are the egos we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
What are you doing?
You know when there's like this thing that's called petty? That is as petty as it gets. I mean, a bicycle kick's big.
That's turning into like a fun training session for them. And they're like, look what I'm going to do next.
Yeah.
Take the piss. Anyway, the French are looking very good. France and you'd say England are looking very good for these Euros. A lot of fans are convinced that Kevin De Bruyne is now producing music in his spare time.
Yeah, I saw that he helped Drake out.
So Kevin De Bruyne was listed as a writer on one of Drake's songs.
Newest album, Scary Hours or something like that.
Yeah.
But apparently it wasn't actually him.
Oh, was it another K De Bruyne?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right.
That's what he commented underneath the video. He's like, all jokes aside, this wasn't actually me.
There's another K De Bruyne.
There's another K De Bruyne, but
I feel like I'm like the majority of people that just saw that and said, oh, wow.
But he doesn't really seem like the type of guy that would write a rap song, right?
No.
But saying that, Kevin Durant is a co-writer for Drake's actual KD. If you look at producers or you look up like something on Drake's album, like, KD's listed there.
Oh, wow.
And it's the actual KD.
Well, Kevin De Bruyne shared it and said, I heard you needed an assist.
I love that.
I saw that.
That's mad. He's got a bit of banter, KD.
He does.
Good to see. But have you listened to Drake's album? Apparently, this is good.
I haven't listened to it completely, but it sounds a lot better.
Apparently, it's a lot better. Good to see. Drizzy was falling off for a bit there.
Need to give it a listen, but apparently, it's a lot better.
Good to see. Speaking of falling off.
Oh, no.
Everton. 10-point deduction officially confirmed.
For what? What did they do again?
Financial breaches. They've now dropped into the relegation zone.
Does that mean they're below Luton?
Yeah, they're on 4 points.
Damn.
They're just a couple points below Luton. Luton are still just... I think Luton are now fourth last.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tight at the bottom. Luckily, Everton got 1 or 2 wins recently. So they were on 14 points. They now dropped to 4. Still a long way to go. But a lot of people are saying how quick they've been charged as opposed to people like City.
Oh, my God. That's the investigation still going on. We don't know what happened with
115
that.
115 breaches of financial fair play have not been charged.
And you know Everton have been received this because they've lost too much money.
Yes.
It's like we're working with such different things here between City and Everton.
Well, there was an expert that spoke about it. It was in The Guardian. You had an expert that spoke about both Chelsea and City and said if they both are found guilty for their financial charges, they could both be relegated from the Premier League, Chelsea and City. That's how bad their charges
are. So that's why it's going to take probably longer.
Yes. So Everton was a 10-point deduction, but they're saying Chelsea and City shit has been so much worse that if they actually are found guilty, despite having the best lawyers in the world, if they are found guilty.
I don't know if we talked about this last week. I think it happened between these two episodes, the Abramovich charges.
Yes.
So he's apparently made multi-million dollar offshore payments
yep.
that are to managers, players, you name it.
Oh, no, we don't care about that. We worry about, we want to know about City. Ivanovic, just put him in the corner somewhere. Put him in the corner, so we'll talk about that one later.
Of course he did.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, look at the rise of Chelsea in such a small time. Of course he was doing
did
that.
Did you see what him and John Obi Mikel was talking about him?
Yeah.
Did
we talk about that last week? No.
I don't think we did. So basically there was a when John Obi Mikel's father got kidnapped, I believe.
Yeah.
Basically, Ivanovic called him and was like, listen, do you want me to help out? And he was like, what? He was like, I can make a phone call if you need me to make a phone call. BFK was like, okay.
His dad was released.
His dad was released the next 2 days. This guy is...
Oh my God, you want Abramovich in your corner.
You want him in your corner. You know, he's probably one of the most connected guys.
Oh, bro, those Russians, they can get anything done. In any part of the world.
That's so true.
Yeah.
So if it happens, when it does, Chelsea and City might both go down.
Can you imagine Chelsea and City back in the championship?
I mean, it wouldn't really matter. They just...
Do you reckon
season. Players would leave? Like,
I don't know.
No.
I reckon everyone would just... They'd still be on the same money.
Okay, cool, let's
they'd be beating every team 10-0. Yeah. And then they'd come back up next season.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be one year.
It happened to Juventus. They came back. Yeah, you can always bounce back from it. I don't know. I don't think they're getting proven of anything. They got that much money. They got the best lawyers in the world. Mm. And they'll manage to push it out.
Yeah, but Abramovich would just make a few more calls.
Well, would he now anymore? I don't know.
Not anymore.
He's not his team anymore. Sergei Evlevsky, will Everton survive now? I think they will. I think it's a long way to go still. Yeah.
I was listening to Filthy Fellas the other day, and they were basically having a discussion saying, like, is the Premier League quality gone down this season because of the bottom three? Everyone knows they might be already getting relegated. Like, the bottom half kind of know.
Well, this is
are they saying that there's so much disparity already?
Who's the bottom three? Burnley have been really disappointing. Goals conceded.
That's Burnley, nuts. Luton, and
Sheffield have been shit too.
Yeah, so they're basically saying the quality of the Premier League has gone down because it's not as close anymore between the bottom half and the bottom three.
I agree with that. Yeah. I think Sheffield, Burnley, they haven't been good enough. Mm. Luton now get a bit of a lifeline. They pop out of the relegation zone, but still, they could take time. Last season, Leicester. Southampton. Who was the other team that went down?
And they were saying the three that went down,
they're
all Premier League teams. That
Leeds.
Yeah, Leeds. Yeah. That will all make Premier League stronger.
Yeah, it's true. So that bottom three is much stronger than this year's bottom three.
Yeah, that's true.
So it'd be tough.
So I definitely agree with that.
I don't know if they're going to survive, man.
I know.
I don't know if the Mandem are going to survive.
I actually might be going to Kenilworth.
Oh, you might go for a little
I might be going down to Kenilworth Road. They play when I'm over there. They play on a Tuesday night against Arsenal.
That's Oof. Mad.
Yeah.
How it goes, man.
I want to go see the smallest stadium in the Prem. It'd be sick.
Tough to play there.
It would be. It'd be very tough.
Have you played at Kenilworth?
Yeah, I played there. I can say that, you know.
Have you?
Same pitch at Haaland.
Was that when you were in the youth?
Yeah.
That's sick. Yeah. That's decent.
I mean, the stadium's empty, but
it doesn't matter. Still played at Kenilworth. That's awesome. You claim it. Random one. They're talking football lawmakers are considering a 10-minute sin bin.
All right.
Would you like to see football with a sin bin?
So is this in place of yellow card, red card? Like, what's going on?
So I think they're talking about potentially either two yellow cards being a sin bin.
I wouldn't mind that, actually.
Because if you make two, none of them are bad challenges.
Okay, not in today's game where...
Everything's a yellow.
Yeah. And we see people get a red card, but we go, come on, that wasn't really a red. Or maybe when someone made a rash challenge or something like that. I don't think it's a horrible idea.
Mm.
Instead of the red.
I mean, if it was really bad and worthy of a suspension, you would have given him a red.
Yes. No, for sure.
Do you know what I mean? If you've just given him two yellows.
So double yellows. Minutes. 10 minutes sin bin. That's not horrible. Yeah. I'm not against that.
And when you look at the so sin bin, for example, rugby league, look at the value of it.
It is because
it pulls a player. Look at a Victor Radley who can get multiple sin bins in one game.
Mm.
You don't have many players like that
in
football, but you know, there are some that might challenge more than others. I don't mind it as like a warning system as opposed to a straight red card or two yellows and you're out. Like, that's a bit boring given that they're handing them out like.
Defenders, it'd be hard for defenders now. Not hard for defenders, because if they implemented that now, defenders would be a lot smarter, right?
Yeah.
Because you'd know if you're on a yellow, right, you'd go and get another yellow. So you wouldn't mind getting another yellow.
It'd probably encourage defenders to defend a little bit more.
Yes.
Yeah, because when they're on a yellow, they go very into their shell.
Yeah, you go, I don't want to make something too rash here. I'm not going to make that slide because I might pull out and blah, 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 blah. I might get another yellow. So you don't want to get that second yellow.
Mm.
But you wouldn't
But you dabble with a sin bin.
I reckon refs would give a lot more yellows. I reckon refs would give a lot more yellows. even for things like simulation.
That's true, actually.
I reckon they'll start handing them out. Yeah. You know, and you get like, bang, sin bin for you, 10v10. You're coming back on. It'd be interesting.
I'd be down to see it in action and whether or not it works. It would
change the game.
It would.
For sure.
It would.
I feel like that's one people will either love or hate.
Yeah. Well, they tested it in England at like grassroots level. And apparently a lot of the coaches come back and said they like it.
Yeah.
But you know, to get a yellow at grassroots level is tough.
Yeah, very hard.
You know, you got to put someone in hospital to get a yellow card. A man who probably would have been in the sin bin a lot is Sergio Ramos. He was back down
he's received the most red cards.
He has,
in La Liga history.
Yeah,
in La Liga history.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Like, someone will fact check me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's up there.
I think you're right. He was down at the Latin Grammys. So they have a Latin Grammys.
Kind of like the Aries over here.
Well, you were there.
Yeah, I was at BTEC Grammys, you know, got a little invite, so.
Exactly right.
I'll take it.
Was it good?
That's right.
Yeah.
Good networking.
Any celebs?
Who was there? Well, Taylor Swift. Virtually.
She zoomed in.
She zoomed in, but that was about it.
Yeah.
Really.
Did you tell her how much you liked her?
Yeah. Tell her she zoomed called in, won some awards.
Well, the Latin Grammys, can you stop licking me? That's my dog, by the way. No one else. Not Alan or Cat.
That's going to sound mad on the mic, by the way.
Please clarify.
So the Latin Grammys, kind of like the Grammys, but
Latin.
A bit more fun. You know, the men are shorter and the women have big culos.
The Latino women.
The Shakira.
Shakira.
Won Song of the Year.
Yes.
She's still making songs. She got over the breakup. Her Song of the Year was the diss track of Gerard Piqué.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
The person who presented her the award was Sergio Ramos.
That's an interesting crossover.
So Sergio Ramos gave her the award for Song of the Year for the song dissing his former Spanish teammate.
Wow.
Gerard Piqué.
I love it.
I love the crossover.
I love everything about it.
Something tells me Ramos and Piqué probably don't get along.
Yeah.
I get that vibe too.
Yeah, because they played together for Spain, but the whole Catalan thing and...
I mean, one is super like pro España and the other is like super pro Catalan. Like,
yeah.
They're probably going to conflict.
Mm. So there you go.
Also, Piqué stopped representing Spain as well. So yes. I feel like you'd get looked down upon making that decision.
Yeah.
Damn, so there you go. Ramos obviously didn't give a fuck about his
former
teammate.
And he probably could have said, no, you know what? That's probably not the best idea. And he wanted it.
He looked great.
He looked absolutely great at those awards.
He's looking good.
He ages like fine wine.
You think the tattoos have something to do with the aging process? A lot of people like Ramos and Beckham. If Ramos and Beckham had no tats, would you think they're as hot?
Oh, so when they have tats, they age less, you reckon?
I think
they look younger, you're saying? With tats?
Yeah, well, because I know like Kat froths Ramos and Kat froths Beckham.
I mean, I don't froth Beckham as much as I froth Ramos.
Right, really?
But I think for me, it's the overall vibe. He's got a really great fashion sense. The tattoos definitely contribute to that. They just both have really good look. Like they just know how to dress and style themselves or get styled.
Mm.
And I think aging is a lot to do with what you wear and how you style yourself.
They're funny because they actually look better older than they did when they were absolutely. Younger. Like Ramos looked like a bit of a dweeb. Beckham looked like a dweeb. So they look better now. Yeah. Another Spanish though. Well, you know, Ramos denied a move to Saudi Arabia. He went to Sevilla.
Mm.
David De Gea, it's come out, also denied a move to Al Nassr.
To Saudi. Oh, that's Ronaldo's team, no?
Listen to this though. Mm. Ronaldo's team, yeah.
Yep.
Apparently he was offered £500,000 a week. Oh,
makes me sick.
Lord have mercy.
It's a goalkeeper. And he didn't go because his wife didn't want to move to Saudi Arabia.
God bless.
Oh, is she going to provide the money? Is she going to come up with that cash? We and the kids, we're going. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what do you mean you don't want to go? You don't pack your bags now, woman.
That's what I was thinking.
What do you mean you don't want to go?
£500,000 quid a week.
What are you talking about? Yeah, pack your bags or go.
And your missus goes, it's a bit hot over there.
It's the heat that she's worried about, Claude.
What is it?
I mean, life's pretty different.
Ronaldo's missus. Georgia or whatever. She's walking around with the bundas everywhere.
Yeah, she doesn't know what she wants. Come on, they make exceptions for certain people.
Yeah.
You know? Damn. What was her reason? Did it say?
All it says is that she didn't like Saudi Arabia, so they turned down the move.
Look,
he probably doesn't need the money, but I mean...
Doesn't need the money.
There would have been some stern conversation at the dinner table there.
Don't really know what to say about this one because usually I want to be the devil's advocate in that...
It's like a couple.
With the whole Sevilla thing and Ramos, I liked that he went against the grain and chose to stay at home, and chose to leave out that career instead of the other. Mm. But I think it's interesting that it's his wife who spoke up and said, I don't want to go live in Saudi Arabia.
I think it's good because, you know, you can look at it like, oh, you know, she's stopping that opportunity. But then again, it shows she doesn't care that much about the money.
Yeah.
Because if she cared about the money, she'd be like, I don't care if it's Saudi Arabia or Real Madrid. It makes no difference to me. Go with the one that pays you more.
Yeah.
She clearly doesn't give a shit about the money.
True.
She just doesn't want to go to Saudi. You've got to respect that. Well, they're
obviously living comfortably already. Yeah, I mean,
he's paid for United for the last 10 odd years or whatever. Yeah. Like, come on.
Exactly.
Money's not really a thing to him.
Exactly. But that's, look, I thought that was nice. Let's see where he ends up. And the Saudis, they'll just continue there. But Luka Modric apparently going to Saudi Arabia end of the season.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he's about fucking 40. Makes sense. So that's the time to go.
The Saudi, what it has done is like, fucked everyone else that is normally like a the retirement home for everyone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like the MLS or A-League. Like we're getting
We're only going to get the scraps.
We're getting nobody soon.
We're going to get the Saudi scraps. We're going to get the players once they're done.
Saudi and MLS scraps. We might get De Gea.
Once he's already... Yeah. I mean, surely his wife would
love
Australia.
I reckon his wife would love Australia.
Yeah, but you don't sell tickets with keepers, let's be real.
We need an ambassador who's like known by everyone and just says, yeah, come to Australia. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need the money.
Who do people think? Let's do next week. Everybody send in your dream marquee for the A-League. And
who can market people to come here? Yeah. Who would it be?
And who do we start the petition
I reckon if Zlatan would be
the Zlatan's a perfect marquee.
Yeah, I'd love him.
He'd come and be able to bring other people to.
You need people that have that character as well. We got to focus on those people.
You need to counteract the tall poppy by bringing in like Zlatan who's like...
£500,000 a week for a goalkeeper. That's about $1 million a week for a goalkeeper. We can't compete.
That's disgusting.
We can't compete.
$1 million a
just
week.
Just focus on our youth. Let's just make more Iran Kundas, man.
Yeah.
There's no point. No. We can't compete. We're further and further behind. You know,
it's so crazy.
Saudis have ruined it for everyone. Last one. I want to leave you with this one. I thought it was a good question from Scorera. If you could change one moment in football history.
Change.
Club or country. You can change one outcome in football history. What would you change?
Two moments directly came to mind.
What two?
First moment is John Terry's slip.
I thought that
penalty,
as well.
But I don't really care because it was JT and like it was up and down and we still won one.
Yes.
If we hadn't won a Champions League, probably that moment. Second moment goes Frank Lampard against Germany, hits the bar and we don't go through.
Yeah.
Damn you, it's like you've been thinking about
you would have put goal line tech in that game.
That moment's like ingrained in my memory.
Yeah.
What's yours, Claude?
I was also thinking the John Terry slip initially. Yeah. But besides that, heartbreaker. There's been a few heartbreaking moments.
I mean, for Australia against Italy.
It's a hard one for me because Italy went on to win the World Cup. And I've got nice memories of that as an Italian. That day sucked against Australia, but then I have all the memories of beating Germany, beating France. That was nice. I don't know if Australia would have done it.
And I agree with you. As a non-Italian, it was such an iconic World Cup.
But for you, you would have changed.
It would have been great to see Australia win that.
Because we could have beaten Ukraine in the next round. Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one.
I mean, it's the first that comes to mind.
Yeah.
But.
What's yours?
It's not really. The thing is, it didn't affect me because I was young.
Oh, okay.
I was young, but I think. If you've ever watched the Australia-Iran game,
I knew you were
going to
say Australia-Iran.
And I know it affected my dad. I was only 1 year old.
Yeah.
But I know it affected my dad. My dad used to run a restaurant and they were watching the game live in the restaurant. And everyone was there and he always tells me about it. He always tells me that 2-0, it was like celebrations and everyone just thought we finally made a World Cup.
Bottled it.
And then the guy ran on the field and all that. And I've spoken to John Aloisi a lot about that day.
Well, John Aloisi was talking about it in the preamble for the last Socceroos game.
Right.
Saying like that moment and why then the following was so important because they finally proved themselves. Like the reason that Aloisi moment was so important, that iconic moment. Is because of the failure of the
That's
one
why
before.
Sometimes it's hard to change something in football. Mm. Like it would Chelsea Champions League win meant as much if Terry hadn't slipped 4 or 5 years before? Mm. You know, would Australia's 2006 have meant as much if we would have made it
this
in 98?
This is what I mean.
So sometimes you've got to enjoy the bad.
The value of that moment comes because of what happened before. Yeah. And I look at Champions League and such an iconic moment for me was, you know, the Barca-Liverpool where they beat us and then we beat them. But that second game, I will never forget.
And it wouldn't happen if you hadn't lost 3-0 in the first one.
And how much it meant. So it's like, I don't want to change it because the significance was because of how hard it was to get there.
I reckon if we were any Spurs fans here, we'd have a lot different.
Yeah. That's true as well. Like,
Spurs,
I think the clubs
have been so close so many times.
The clubs that you support and stuff. Yeah, the clubs that you support will change your perspective on this one. Yeah, 100%.
But it'll be interesting to get people's thoughts on that. If there was other moments in time that they could change.
On that too. Yeah. Italy finally beat Macedonia.
Fucking oath.
Because that's a moment you probably would have wanted to go back to as well.
But slap them around.
Yeah.
Slap it.
The Macedonians.
Nah, I was shit myself. I'm not going to lie. I said, I was watching the game with my brother and it was 3-0 at halftime. And Macedonia made a triple change at the start of the second half. And the camera cut to the three players coming on. And my brother turns to me and goes, triple change? Like, they could be on here. I said, bro, they're not fucking on here. I said, if we don't win this game, I'll never work in football again. I said, if Italy throw a 3-0 lead, I said, I don't know why.
Claude just, it's 3 a.m. and Claude is rethinking his life choices.
I said, if Italy don't win this game from 3-0 at home, halftime, if they bottle this game, I promise you, I'll focus on a different sport. I'll know. 3-1. Fuck, all right, it's fine. It's all good. 3-2.
Oh, my God.
I was there like, fuck. And then they had a lot of the ball. And then Italy scored 2.
You had your resignation letter ready?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Funny as fuck, man.
I'm shitting myself.
That's a great question, though, because it makes you think. But then it also, for me, just makes me realize that things are only significant because of what it took to get there.
Yeah. I think maybe injuries of players is probably one you'd change because there's never a good outcome for that.
No.
True. You know, players that get injured.
Or like careers that ended early.
You know, okay, well,
that's a good question. Whose career would you change of injury? That doesn't make sense.
Probably R9. I would have liked to see Ronaldo if his knees weren't fucked.
For me, it's always going to be Jack Wilshere. Always going to be Jack Wilshere.
For me, it was you two.
Oh, wow.
As in the band?
No, you do.
Oh.
I would have loved to see where you could go if it wasn't for your injury.
Me too. I think about that every day when I wake up.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I get on my phone and scroll on TikTok and say, this is why.
This is where I am.
What have I become?
What have I become?
This
what
is
have
your I life.
A content creator.
Oh, Lord.
That's all right. I want the online comeback. I know it's still around the corner. It's You're coming. Not too old, bro. You're still in your 20s. When you hit 30,
he's got another game at Kenilworth in him.
Yeah.
One more. Who knows?
Charity match.
Who knows? Charity match. I'm back next year.
Go do Soccer Aid.
Yeah.
Soccer Aid. I think I'm playing in that.
What?
The Aussie one.
The Aussie one.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Not the actual Soccer Aid.
I was going to say, like, don't throw that around. No.
Maybe one day, bro. One day. I reckon one day we'll see Holland Tekkers.
Never say never.
At Wembley playing in that Soccer Aid.
I think
match.
We might see the whole Born Offside crew.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think I can play.
Is it men only?
Did women play?
Yeah, women playing it.
Okay.
In the, yeah,
oh, like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, women playing it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Never mind.
Anyway, still a while off that. We've got some exciting shit coming up. Sydney Derby this weekend, of course.
Yes.
Big game. We'll be there. We'll all be there.
We will be there.
You can't. Fuck you and your busy shit. What are you always doing?
I'm working. Sorry, lads.
He doesn't stop, bro.
I'm paying the bills. Fair enough. Unfortunately. So
we'll all be there.
You guys
then are you plus one-ing me? Because I don't have a ticket.
Well, we'll talk about that after.
Do I have to fight someone?
Well, look, there's a few people that want a ticket. We'll see.
All right.
No, I'm joking. Of course. Big game, Sydney Derby. That's going to be great. And then, of course, we have got a bit of an announcement coming up soon. We'll announce it soon.
We'll wait till next week.
We're doing a bit of a live thing.
Yes.
Where you guys can come down and get involved. And we're giving away a lot of cool shit, too. Yes. So make sure you're subscribing. Make sure you're following us on all socials. Thanks so much, guys, for today. See you next time.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.